This is Dan Gamber of Metalhawk Press, publisher of this year's Philip K. Dick award-winning Terminal Mind by David Walton, and you're listening to 7 Star Podcast.
This is Maurice Broaddus, author of Orgy of Souls and Devil's Marionette and the upcoming Knights of Breton Court series, and you're listening to the 7 Star Podcast.
Straight from oblivion, the devil's calling from the bottom of a shot glass. My liquid requiem, awakened full of sin, and toxic visions haunt me at the end of night. Said, who are you to ask me to wash my dreams away? Who am I to beg you for another day?
Hey, this is horror author Michael West. You can find me at buymichaelwest.com, but you don't have to find Steven Zimmer. You're listening to him on the 7 Star Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the fourth edition of the 7th Star Press Podcast. This is your host, Steven Zimmer, and thank you for joining us today. We kick things off a little from the band Zero King with their song Black Friday, and we also had some author tags, which you'll also hear throughout the show, and we definitely encourage you to check out the various authors that you will hear about in those tags and, of course, in the main interviews. Today's interview, we will be meeting a gentleman who I originally thought I was going to meet in person at Mid-South Con in Memphis this past spring, but due to a scheduling conflict, we didn't meet up at the reading we were supposed to do together, and so it took until Hypericon, a couple months later in Nashville, great convention there, that we finally met in person, and I'm very, very glad we did. Guy is so gracious, and he's such a good guy, and his book is fantastic. I reviewed it on the 7th Star Press's review and blog, and you can find it easily in our archive a little ways back. But the book is called The Brotherhood of Dwarves, and it's from the series The Brotherhood of Dwarves, which is now the third installment, is getting prepared as we speak, which he will be talking a little bit about in today's interview. And D.A. Adams is the name of this fantastic author, and he resides in the fine state of Tennessee. And we're looking forward to having him again on the show in the future as well, because he's going to be here for a long time to come. I think he's got a great future ahead of him. So here in just a few moments, we're going to be getting D.A. on the phone. And you'll be finding out about his recent trip to Dragon Con, finding out a little bit more about his work and about the status of the upcoming third installment of the Brotherhood of Dwarves series. So hang in there for a second, and we'll get to D.A. Adams live in just a second.
Hi, this is Jackie Gamber, author of Red Heart, and you're listening to 7th Star Podcast.
Hi, this is author Nick Brown from werewolfforhire.com, and you're listening to the 7th Star Press Podcast.
All right, so thanks to the internet and the technology of MP3 and telephones, we have with us today D.A. Adams, the author of Brotherhood of Dwarves series, with the first book, Brotherhood of Dwarves, and the second book, Red Sky at Dawn, and the third coming up. So welcome to the show, D.A.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first of all, I know there's lots of people that do know you, but for those that have not gotten a chance to meet you yet, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the series, The Brotherhood of Dwarves.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm primarily a writer. I write fantasy action adventure. I'm also a teacher. I teach composition and literature for a community college. My goal is to retire from teaching in the next couple of years and be able to exist solely as a writer. That's my long-term goal. Not quite there yet, but every step forward is a step closer to that goal. So that's where I want to be in, you know, probably four and a half years. I'd like to be exclusively earning my living as a writer. I went to the University of Memphis, got both my bachelor's and my master's degrees out there, studied exclusively writing in general, focused mostly on mainstream fiction when I was in school. And part of the reason for why I focused on mainstream fiction when I was in college was genre work was very much frowned upon. And I had wanted to be a writer to write fantasy. And then when I got to school and just heard the, you know, just extreme dislike and snobbery towards any genre fiction, I guess I kind of went into a shell and tried to, you know, I guess, conform into writing mainstream literature. And I really feel like it held me back and I guess diminished my voice a little bit, and I struggled for years to find my narrative voice until I did return to fantasy and realized, you know, that is really what I want to do, and it's where my heart lies, it's where my talent lies, and I cast off those restraints that were put on me from my education and got back to doing what my heart wanted to do.
Well, one thing that you can definitely do to help move forward toward your goal, by the way, I just thought of this, but you can make your book series a required reading for all of your classes, so that everybody.
Yeah, don't think I haven't thought of that idea a couple of times. I just don't know that the college would smile upon that idea.
No, yeah. Well, you know, it would at least get you on the New York Times list if you can get enough schools to cooperate in that kind of scheme, though.
Tennessee Board of Regents to adopt that policy, I would definitely be doing a lot better.
Well, we'll definitely get to work on that then to help you out. But as far as the Brotherhood of Dwarves, I've actually read the first book, and I have posted a review on the Seventh Star blog site. And anyone that wants to check that out, you know, that's where we also host the podcast, seventhstarpress.blogspot.com. And I absolutely love the book. And now, you know, I would love to, you know, like I said, give my own take on it, but it's, you know, it's there for people that want to look it up. But I would like to have you give your take on the storyline of the Brotherhood of Dwarves. And, you know, if you want to mention a little bit about Red Sky at Dawn without giving away too many spoilers, that's fine too.
Sure. Well, the genesis of the series is there's a young dwarf named Roskin, and he's the heir to a kingdom of dwarves that they're not your typical dwarves. They're rather remote and isolated. They don't have very many natural enemies. So instead of focusing on warfare as a society, they've been able to focus on things like art and music and poetry. They're very refined, very sophisticated. So, you know, obviously, they're not your typical dwarves. They don't carry battle axes and you know, chant and yell and run around fighting. That's not their society. Well, he's young and adventurous, and he finds all the sophistication and refinement very boring. He wants to go out and make a name for himself. And he's heard this legend of a statue that's been stolen from a neighboring kingdom. And the statue is called the Brotherhood of Dwarves. And he gets it in his head that he wants to go reclaim this artifact to make a name for himself. So the genesis of the story is him leaving his kingdom to go find the person who's going to help him reclaim the artifact, and then what happens to the two of them along the way to find it.
Well, one of the things I definitely loved about the book was the fact that you take some, you know, fantasy races that, you know, are very commonly seen in fantasy, and you put your own take on them. And I do want to bring up even your take on orcs, because I think you've done something incredibly clever with them, weaving together, you know, some things that have parallels to even, you know, history here in the States.
Yeah, that was very important to me when I was putting together the backstory for the entire series. I wanted it to be not necessarily original, but I wanted it to be authentic. I wanted it to be mine. And so when I was looking at each of the races and thinking about how I wanted them to be, I knew I wanted the orcs to be slave traders. And I had, when I was in college, one of my focuses was I studied a lot of African-American literature. And a couple of the people I read quite a bit were Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington. And I'd read a lot about their experiences having lived on plantations and having had, you know, been in bondage. And I used a lot of their descriptions and a lot of their accounts of what it was like to actually be a slave on a plantation. I incorporated that into my descriptions and my understanding of how the orc society would function, looking at it kind of from the slave's perspective of here's what this society is like. And I do think it works pretty well. I think it gives the orcs a very fresh, role in the story.
Yeah, I think it fit really well within the story, and also like with the other things that you did with the dwarves, I mean, it gave a fresh aspect to, you know, commonly seen fantasy races, which I think is brilliant. And I commend you on taking that risk, because I think that's a big risk to take as an author. But you know, with the task of being a small press author, you know, without having the big Simon and Schuster displays in the front of every bookstore and, you know, big marketing campaign behind you, one of the things that authors, you know, on a small press level can do is get out to conventions, and you didn't shoot very low. You recently went to one of the Super Bowls of conventions, and that's, of course, Dragon Con down in Atlanta, which is 40 to 50,000 people and loads of celebrities and tons of programming tracks. And you were a invited author guest, and you participated on panels while you're there. And I wanted to give our audience a sense of your visit to Dragon Con. So let's start with your a little bit to your day-to-day type activity. Let's talk about the panels that you participated on and the kind of the topics that you and co-panelists even as well, but the topics you covered there.
Well, first of all, the convention itself is amazing. Anybody who has not had the opportunity to go to a Dragon Con, you need to make the trip. If you are a fan of science fiction or fantasy literature, TV, movies, in any genre, any form, it's well worth the trip, because it is one of the most amazing spectacles I've ever been a part of. As far as my personal experience there, it was my first year as a guest, and so my schedule was a little light this year. I think they, not knowing what to expect from me, they wanted to keep my schedule kind of light and see how I did, and then maybe next year offer me a few more panels. So I ended up only having three panels that I got to be a part of this year. I was on one that was the use of religion and magic systems in fantasy writing. And I joked that the reason why I was chosen for that panel is because I use neither religion nor magic in my series. That's one of those things about my series that not a lot of people have commented on, and I think it that goes to how well the story is constructed, that people don't know what's missing, you know, because I don't rely on or lean back on any of the typical conventions for the story. So I was on that panel kind of as a counter voice, I guess, of how to create a story without relying on those systems. Then I also was on one really, really good panel with I'm blanking out on the names of the other authors who were there, but it was on the use of non-human races as the primary characters, either protagonist or antagonist, within either science fiction or fantasy. And of course, my use of dwarves and orcs really landed me on that panel, and it was just an excellent discussion. We really got into a lot of good details of why we make the choices we make to use non-human races to illustrate human qualities. And there was one gentleman there who his primary antagonists in his series are dragons, and he's taken dragons and completely made them his own. He has given them an entire culture, an entire just life beyond anything that I think has come before. And listening to him talk about his choices for why he did this and why he did that, it was almost like I was sitting there talking, giving my explanations of why I did this and why I did that with the orcs. And so that panel itself was just excellent. We had an awesome audience that had just a ton of questions for us, and even some of the audience members were very knowledgeable about mythology and very knowledgeable about their understanding of the different races as they've held up in literature over the centuries. And so that particular discussion was one of the best of the weekend that I was a part of. My last panel that I sat on was, personally, it was my favorite panel because it touched on both of my big passions in life, and it was how to incorporate science fiction and fantasy literature into school curriculum. And so I got to draw upon both my experiences as a writer and as a teacher, and the audience for that panel was almost exclusively librarians and teachers, but it was just an amazing discussion that we had, and a lot of really good advice on how to get the younger generation off of the Xbox and into a book, and how to show them how they can connect. They don't have to give up the Xbox, but they can connect the things that they love about a particular game on a gaming system to a book that is associated with that. And it was a great discussion. We really had a good time. But the show overall is just that you have to see it for yourself. There's no describing it.
Oh, it's like entering another world. But in that last panel, there you go. You can make the Brotherhood of Dwarves required in all school curriculums. That's what you should have focused that last panel on, because that would have definitely moved our plan forward a little bit more there. But
yeah, I did make that suggestion, but I don't think it was well received. So.
Well, we got some work to do here then. Actually, it's kind of off topic, but you mentioned the use of dragons in a very well-developed context. I do have to give a plug to Jackie Gamber with her book Redheart from the Leland Dragon series. I don't know if you've had a chance to read that one yet. She's on Meadowhawk Press, but she also does a really good job of constructing a dragon society, and that's actually one I recently reviewed. But back to Dragon Con, as far as, you've talked about a little bit about your panels, but as far as maybe some of the ones you attended, who are some of the big-name writers that you maybe got a chance to either see or meet?
Probably the biggest name there, and I'd actually met him at Mid-South Con in Memphis a few months earlier. Probably the biggest name there was Mike Resnick. Of course, Mike he's got probably, 60 novels out and probably 200 short stories in 200 different magazines. So, I don't know the validity of this claim, but he says that he has won more Hugo and Nebula Awards than anybody in history. So, he's one of the biggest names in science fiction and fantasy literature. So, just sharing the stage with someone of that caliber was a huge honor. And his wealth of experience there's not a situation in the publishing world that he hasn't been a part of and dealt with. So, anytime you can kind of glean a little bit of I guess knowledge or wisdom from somebody of that caliber, it makes for a really good opportunity to just sit back and close your mouth and listen.
I'm just curious. Was Kevin J. Anderson there this time?
Yeah, he was there, but I didn't get to meet him. The way our schedules were set up, he was on the opposite end of the convention every time I was somewhere, so I never got an opportunity to meet him.
So, as far as some of the other things that you kind of set, well, we'll take it this way. When you are heading into the convention, did you have a kind of a game plan of what you wanted to accomplish, or any kind of set agenda?
Yeah, my biggest goal that I had was just getting as much exposure as I could. I put together a pretty good collection of media kits, and I made up a list of people that I wanted to get the kits to. I also put together about a dozen or so kits with books in them to give to reviewers and librarians. And that was my game plan going in, was I was going to put myself in front of as many people as I could, just in general, but then also I had a very specific list of people who I was going to target and make sure that I got information in their hands.
So did it go pretty well for you as far as what you...
Yeah, I feel like it did. Of course, time will only tell. You know, time is the great test of how successful I was. So far, haven't heard anything back from any of the reviewers or any of the librarians that I gave copies of the book to. But of course, it's only been a couple of weeks, so I can't really, I can't hang my head that, oh, well, they didn't read the book. Only time will tell if they read it and like it.
So you didn't get caught in any great scandals at the legendary Dragon Con parties at night?
No, I stayed away from the parties. I'm getting too much wear on the tread here to burn the candle at both ends like that. So usually when I go to shows, I try to, most of the time, I try to behave myself and stay away from the party scene as much as I can and keep my nose clean, so to speak.
Well, yeah, you could take that on many levels when it comes to the Dragon Con parties.
Yeah, yeah.
but as far as the
double entendre intended.
Yeah, but as far as the convention schedule goes, what do you have coming up? Maybe even in early 2010.
Well, in October, I'm going to be heading to Nashville for I think it's the second year of the show. It's called GMX, which I believe stands for Geek Media Expo, but it's a fairly new show in Nashville. It's down at the Opryland Radisson, which is just a fabulous hotel, and the people putting on this show have just done a tremendous job of promoting it. They're really trying to get the word out about it. They were at Hypericon promoting, they were at DragonCon promoting. I'm sure they've been at some other shows promoting, and so I'm really looking forward to being a part of that event. As far as the rest of this year, that's probably the only one that I have on the plate because of my teaching schedule. But next year I'm really going to try to ramp up. I know I'm going back to Conuga in February in Chattanooga. I'm going to Mid-South Con again in Memphis. And then I have about a dozen more shows that I'm trying to get to. I don't have anything confirmed yet, so I don't want to throw my name out that I'm going to this show when I don't know yet. But I hope next year is a very busy year for me.
Well, I understand, because when you announce you're going to go to a show, it's usually what happens, 1,000 people immediately register. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I have a huge following.
Well, actually, you do actually have a pretty good following. I've actually, on the conventions that I've been to, I've actually encountered quite a few people that are familiar with you and your series. So I don't know if I've actually told you that a lot, but you actually enjoy a pretty good reputation out there in a lot of places. Now, as far as one of the things on your itinerary for the near future is the new book, the third in your series. How's that going? Where is it at? And when can your fans anticipate the release?
My goal is to release the book sometime next summer. I don't have a specific month in mind yet. If I can have it available early in the summer at one of, maybe Hypericon or possibly Ancient City Con in Jacksonville, then I'll shoot for that. My deadline goal is I want to have it ready for Dragon Con next year. As far as the book itself goes, I'm really pleased with it. The story is really coming together. It's I'm getting into the meat of the story of the overall series, and it's really coming together well. And one of the things that I think is really, the book itself has been very cathartic for me, because I started the book a couple of years ago and got about a chapter and a half into it, and then went through a divorce and went through a pretty pretty rough year after my divorce emotionally, dealing with the loss of, you know, not having my kids in my home anymore and trying to struggle to get back on my feet as an individual. And when I started back writing into the book, I was able to take a lot of the things from my personal life and incorporate them into the story as a catharsis. And there have only been a couple of people who've been reading the rough draft with me and given me feedback so far, but both of them have just they've said that it's head and shoulders above the first two books.
All right. Well, you know, I'm definitely going to be pre-ordering my copy when the time comes. So you better let me know when the order window is open. But
you know I will.
But okay. So we are actually getting toward the end of our interview here, and I would like to give you the floor so you can explain in detail where people can find you, your work and everything related to you.
If you'd like to come to my website, it's www.thirdaxe.com. That's thirdaxe.com. I've got a lot of information there about myself, about the books. You can also, if you so choose, you can purchase the books through Amazon off of the website. The books are available pretty much at any major bookseller. Not sure how many bookstores actually carry me on their shelves as an independent, but with my distribution channel through Ingram, any bookstore can order the books and either have them in the store or have them shipped straight to your house. So there's no excuse not to have a copy on your bookshelf by the end of the weekend.
And are there any social networking sites that you are open to as far as readers contacting you?
Yeah, I'm available on Facebook. I'm on there quite a bit, both, communicating both with fans and with friends of mine. If you want to find me on Facebook, you can either search for D.A. Adams or for Alex Adams. That's my real life name, and I accept friends on either one of those, and I'm always glad to add somebody else and have somebody else contributing to the conversation there.
And your truly obsessed fans, they usually like just come to your college and enroll in classes and get in your classes?
You know, actually, I have had one or two who have done that, and it is a little unsettling. It's a little when somebody who you have no idea who they are knows all of this information about you. It's a little unsettling at times, but yeah, that's part of it, I guess.
Well, I'm going to have to keep tabs on that because, I'm a filmmaker as well, and that might make a good topic for a really good thriller movie someday.
Yeah. I think that one's been done, though. I think there have been a couple of those put out there. So.
Really? The stalking of D.A. Adams?
No, not of D.A. Adams, of other authors. But I think Stephen King did a couple of those. But if I could add one more thing here, just as far as you mentioned the fan base that I do have. I would like to say that I'm very grateful to the people out there who have taken the time to read my books and have let me know what they think about them and both the good and the bad. I like hearing the criticism. I like it when people are they have their opinion about how this should go or how that should go, because it really helps me to grow as a writer to get that kind of feedback from people. And it, I try to make myself accessible to people and make myself, I don't want to be the kind of artist who is standoffish and doesn't want fans interacting with them, because I understand that without the readers and without the people who like the series, I've got nothing to offer, really. So just anybody out there who wants to get in touch with me, feel free to send me an email. Feel free to join my Facebook. I love getting that kind of feedback.
Well, I can definitely vouch for your approachability, because that's one of the things that I really like about you and respect about you. Of course, you're an excellent writer, but I have personally watched you and interact with people, and you definitely are everything as you've just built. So you're the real deal, and I appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And we were talking about DragonCon, and if I could just add just a final thought on DragonCon, being invited to that show as one of the guest authors was truly just one of the greatest honors I've ever received, because I'm sure you're aware, being an independent, you're constantly fighting for credibility, and you're constantly fighting for being taken seriously as an artist. And to be recognized by one of the largest conventions in North America and you know, be deemed worthy to be there as, you know, somebody who deserves to share the stage with a Mike Resnick or a Kevin Anderson, you know, that was just a tremendous honor for me. And I can't express enough how grateful I am to the committee for allowing me to be a part of that.
Well, I hope many more to come, because you definitely belong. You definitely do. So thank you very, very much for taking some time out, because I know you, with the book and your teaching, and you have a very busy schedule. But thank you so much for taking some time for the 7th Star podcast, and I hope that everyone listening goes out and checks out your work.
Well, thank you, Stephen. The pleasure was all mine, and anytime you want to have me back, you have my number, and my phone is always welcome.
All right. Well, I will be sure to register in one of your classes now, just so I can keep a close eye on you.
That sounds good. If I see you in one of my classes, I'll make a note on the roster.
All right. You take it easy, man.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
From Dragon Con to the upcoming third installment in the Brotherhood of Dwarves series, you get the scoop straight from D.A. Adams himself. We loved having him today. He's a very gracious guy, a great author, and we're looking forward to having him again and again, because I think he's going to be in the fantasy world for a long time to come, because I think he's just going to keep, he keeps getting better, and we're looking forward to seeing his next work, and we encourage all of you to go out and check it out as soon as you get a chance. So this is Stephen Zimmer and your host, and thank you very, very much for joining us today at the 7th Star Press podcast. We'll have another edition coming up soon with another great new small press author. So check us out at 7th Star Press at blogspot.com or on iTunes, and we'll wrap things up here with a little bit more from that song Black Friday from the band Zero King. Thanks a lot. Keep it up. Keep up the good reading, the good work, and join us next time.
Hi, this is Mike D'Ambrosio, the author of the Fractured Time Trilogy and Space Frontiers series. You're listening to the 7th Star Podcast.
This is Jason Sizemore with Apex Publications, and you're listening to the 7th Star Podcast. And hey, visit apexbookcompany.com after the show for more fantastic science fiction, fantasy, and horror. I did it once again. I let you pull me in. I fell victim to my